This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Shuai Kutin with Tan Chung Han, and we have more business news in the mix for you. A quick note, just now you spoke to Ricky Ang, CEO of Swiss Garden International, and we had a tweet come in congratulating you.
Oh.
Iqbal Rafi says, well done, Breakfast Grill.
Are we sure that's not my mom using a pseudonym on Twitter?
It could be. Oh,
thanks, mom. Appreciate it.
Okay. Well, there you have it. That ends that conversation. Now we look to Malaysian Airlines and Blue Skies.
Yeah, possibly. So looking at the first quarter numbers from Malaysia Airlines, it appears that their recovery is on track. Looking at the first 3 months of this year, they carried about 3.6 million passengers. That translates to an almost 13% increase compared to the same period in 2016, so year on year.
But, you know, we also had some reports suggesting a fall between this quarter and the last quarter, which is the last quarter of 2016. Now, is that a valid comparison?
Well, I mean, with the last quarter of the year, you know, generally that's, you know, peak season for holiday travels, right? You got your year-end vacations. People are wanting to clear their leave. So I wonder if Q4 versus Q1 is a valid comparison. Yeah, no, but nevertheless, you know, some media reports went with that. But year-on-year, you're looking at an almost 13% increase in the number of passengers. Now, that's pretty much in line with what we're seeing with, say, AirAsia and AirAsia X, right? By comparison, AirAsia, first quarter of this year saw a 9% increase in passengers carried. AirAsia X, 33% increase on year. Now, so you have all these Malaysian carriers, you know, showing a kind of growth momentum. Now, looking forward to the near future in the coming months, though, I mean, you do have other positive indicators for Malaysia Airlines. For example, looking at forward bookings, though, for the next 6 months, that's from June to November. Apparently, according to Malaysia Airlines CEO Peter Bellew, saying that they are noticing a 45% improvement on year. So again, that's for the upcoming 6 months. So, you know, it looks like passengers, first quarter on year increase, next 6 months, June to November, possibly increasing as well.
So this is good news for Malaysia Airlines, especially as the kickstarts its IPO process, right? Looking to early part of 2019, I think, for listing.
Yeah, that's right. No, so they aim to be profitable by next year. No, so those kind of passenger numbers, no, hopefully will go some ways towards making them profitable. Although, you know, to be fair, first quarter was a challenge, you know, given the higher fuel prices. I mean, looking at the average Brent futures for the first 3 months of this year is about, you know, 50, 55 bucks a barrel versus the same period in 2016. You know, that was when it was down to like the 30s, right? So you have that factor going on. Also Forex as well. But nevertheless, a lot of competition. So at least in the first quarter, it looks like Malaysia Airlines are not terribly affected by the decision to cut those flights to Amsterdam and Paris, you know, as of last year.
Speaking of competition, how does Malaysia Airlines compare to AirAsia and AirAsia X, considering that they overlap in terms of sectors?
Yeah, to be fair, you know, AirAsia X are in the budget segment, but, you know, like I pointed out earlier, they're all three, AirAsia, AirAsia X, and also Malaysia Airlines, seeing on-year gains in the number of passengers carried. AirAsia carried over 15 million passengers. Again, this is for the first quarter of this year. AirAsia X, 1.4 million passengers. Malaysia Airlines, about 3.6 million. Long may that continue, but it's the question of profitability, right? And because AirAsia X also, you know, we're seeing some downward pressure in their earnings growth. You know, so we'll have to see, you know, what the rest of 2017 will hold for them.
Okay. We also have in the mix Islamic banking. Apparently, according to some experts and players in the market is crowded. Perhaps no space for new entrants.
Yeah, well, so looking at Malaysia planes, you know, we've got more passengers there, you know, a bit more crowded. But also, looks like in the Malaysian Islamic banking sector, that's apparently quite crowded as well. Now, that's according to comments from Dato' Sri Zukri Samad. He is the outgoing managing director for Bank Islam. So just to give you some numbers here, you know, there are 16 Islamic banks here in Malaysia. versus we've got eight local banking groups, right? So, at least in his eyes, he's saying there's just too many players. There's talks of perhaps an M&A in that space. Now, if you recall, there had been movements, to try to consolidate the number of banks here in Malaysia. Arguably, the most high-profile one was a proposed one from CIMB, RHB, and MBSB, back in 2014. Long story short, that did not go through. But if you recall, one of the key agendas for that proposed merger was to build a mega Islamic bank. So this call or this observation, this trend has been ongoing for a while now.
Now, when a player in the industry says there's no space, is it because they don't want the competition? I mean, isn't that a possible way of looking at it?
Yeah, maybe. Because when you look at, say, I'm looking at some Bank Negara numbers here on their website, they're talking about the exponential growth that the Malaysian Islamic banking sector is expected to see. For example, the assets under Malaysia's Islamic banking sector is expected to see an average growth rate of between 18 to 20% annually, right? So if you're saying overcrowded, it's like, well, do we want the fewer players to have, a larger share of the pie? Or, is the pie growing so much, again, double digit, according to Bank Negara, that there's enough to, sustain, more players? But zooming in out to the broader banking space, looks like the latter is true. That being that there's enough to go around. Because you've got the likes of, we've got some news here, or this story in the Edge Weekly, talking about Taiwan's largest financial group, Cathay Financial Holdings. They have apparently agreed to acquire Bank of Nova Scotia here in Malaysia to the tune of $255 million. They'll make them the first Taiwanese bank here in Malaysia. So looks like when it comes to the overall pie, the pie being the banking sector here in Malaysia, still tasty enough for foreign guys to come in.
Right, so they're buying an existing bank with a banking license rather than getting a separate banking license.
Yeah, correct. We have about 18 foreign commercial banks in Malaysia. So it looks like, Cathay Financial will take over Nova Scotia's place in that 18.
Okay, we're coming up to the news bulletin shortly. And after that, we'll have the opening numbers and more analysis on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.